praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, amen. Our God is so good. And,
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. You know, that was a wonderful report, Sister Debbie, there. Been believing that God was going to intervene for you and do miracles. Amen. And praise the Lord. Yes, amen. He knows how to heal. He knows how to change us. He knows how to strengthen us. And oh, yes, I know, man, so many things that God has helped me with, things I could never have done of my own self.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We're going to have a little prayer here too, before I begin. And I believe I did have a message, maybe from Chuck or Carla, saying that I think Dave Bradley, it seems like he's in the hospital. He's the man that has had bladder cancer, and so far it's been going pretty good. He's doing conventional treatments. But it sounds like something else happened. It sounds like maybe a kidney stone. Something else has brought him into the hospital. So let's pray for him. And I do thank everybody who's praying for Jane. I know God has heard your prayers. And I know Sister Penny had this idea, well, this inspiration, shall I say, that's a better word, that tomorrow that we could all, whoever can, I know some of you have to work and there's other problems that would keep you away, but if you can, join in prayer between 9 and 10 a.m. tomorrow, Central Time. We'd just like to give that time for prayer for Jane. And let's pray for others. I'm sure others will come to mind, including this David Bradley, who certainly needs a touch from the Lord, too. And with that, let's believe God for amazing things, for miracles.
Yes.
And you know, we need to see the hand of the Lord. He is the same as he walked on earth. The miracles that he did back then, he can still do today.
Yes, he can.
And oh yes, it's time to start believing him. It's time, oh yes, to know the power of God in a deeper way. So let's go before the Lord here again and just trust the Lord that he will work here in our hearts tonight, and oh Lord knows that every need that we all have as individuals. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Oh Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you again that we can come before thee. We thank you that it is a wonderful throne of grace and mercy. Oh God, we could never deserve it, Lord. We could never do enough, oh Lord, to earn such favor. But we do thank you, God. We do thank you for what you have done and what you are going to do. And yes, Lord, we do know what you did in the past, you can do even now. Oh yes, and oh God, I pray that you would grow our faith. I pray, oh God, that, oh God, you give us the spirit of expectancy, Lord. Oh God, that the things that need to come to pass, oh Lord, would by the grace of God, Lord. Oh God, that we would see your hand intervening, and oh God, moving the mountains that need to go in the name of Jesus, Lord, our strong and mighty tower. Oh God, that the righteous runneth into and are safe. Praise the Lord. Oh God, we thank you, Jesus. We pray that you'd work in our hearts tonight, Lord. Oh God, touch David Bradley, Lord. You know, oh God, his particulars. You know the pain. You know, oh God, his need even at this very moment. I pray that you'd intervene there, Lord. I pray that you would touch him. Oh God, if it's a kidney stone, then I pray that he would pass it easily, Lord. Oh God, that you would help him, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, for you have helped us with so many circumstances and ordeals. And oh God, we're believing that you're going to touch him, Lord. And oh God, that the reality of your goodness, oh God, will be a scene, oh Lord, in his heart, his life, his family. Oh Lord, all of them, Lord, that you would help them. Oh God, I pray, oh God, for Jane too, Lord, there
yes,
at
Lord.
Frater Hospital. And I pray, oh God, oh Lord, that you would touch her. Oh God, that you put faith in her heart too, Lord. And oh God, I pray that, oh Lord, this would not just be another occasion there at Frater, but oh Lord, that, oh God, your hand would be seen in a mighty way, Lord. Oh God, that you'd work in a mighty way, Lord. Oh God, we do come against these seizures. Now, God, I ask, oh Lord, that they would cease to happen, Lord. Oh God, oh Lord, oh God, that you'd put your hand on her, this body, Lord, on Jane, Lord. And oh God, I pray that you deliver her.
Yes,
and we do
Lord,
thank
God.
You. We do praise you in Jesus' precious name. Thank you, God. Oh, Lord. And oh, God, be here, Lord. Oh, God, talk to us here tonight, Lord. Give me the words. Oh, God, give me the ability. Oh, God, I ask that you'd use this message, Lord. I pray, oh, God, that you talk to every heart, every soul, Lord. Oh, God, that you'd get us all ready for the great day of the Lord, Lord. Oh, God, that our hearts would be made right. Oh, God, that we'd serve you faithfully, that we'd be accounted worthy. Oh, God, to stand before you, Lord, clothed with your righteousness and covered with your blood. Oh, God, we do thank you. We do praise you. Oh, yes, in the name of Jesus. That the devil have no place here, Lord. And oh God, I pray that faith would move, faith would work, oh Lord. And oh God, that your will be done, Lord, in Jesus' precious name, by the power of the blood, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord. Yes, our God is so good to us. And oh my, you know, our little Thanksgiving, oh yes, you know, it just seems like we can say so little at times in appreciation for the greatness of our God and for how he's helped us day by day and moment by moment. But praise the Lord, I know that we can give him our lives. And oh yes, anything that we do is because of him. Amen.
Amen.
To God be the glory. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're going to title this message, To God Be the Glory. And we're going to go into some stories from the scripture that I think will glorify the Lord. And oh my, show how God can change situations. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's get into his word and see what he might show us here tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. I want to start with Psalms 115 for a portion there. If we could go there. Psalms 115. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. The very first verse, Psalms 115 in verse 1, it reads, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake." And oh yes, I couldn't help but think of this verse because oh yes, people often, if they do something that you know, is esteemed, honorable, and great, you know, they expect a little bit of glory for that. You know, you might see them in the papers, you might see them with their hands raised, and you know, and victory, and you know, the cameras might click, and you know, their photos here and there, and everything else, the esteem that is given unto people when they've, you know, done some feat that man thinks is, you know, honorable, good, you know, notable. But here the psalmist is saying, you know, when it comes to glory, it's not to be for us, but rather unto the name of the Lord, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Oh yes, we cannot appreciate the mercy of the Lord. Oh my, to the greatest extent. We cannot fully understand, I feel, how merciful he has been toward us. And in that sense, you know, we could feel indebted. And indeed, we do want to respond. We do want to do what we can do to show our appreciation for such great mercy. And then, oh yes, for the truth that he has made known in our hearts. Oh, it's an amazing thing because, oh yes, this whole world lieth in darkness. And oh, it does seem that truth is becoming harder and harder to find. But thank God for the beauty in his word, for these words of eternal life. Oh yes, they were written so many years before, but still resonate in our hearts. When, oh yes, we will look at them and let them register. Oh, let them talk to us. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, it's a wonderful thing. Amen. And the psalm continues. It asks, wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? You know, most of the heathen, they make idols or they draw pictures. They have icons. Oh, yes, to display their God. But praise the Lord, our God is not visible. And yet, no idols are needed. Oh, yes, because he manifests his power through his word. Oh, yes, and by those touches that he gives us as he touches our lives and begins to work in us and begins to change us. Praise the Lord, and we do not want to make pictures or images to illustrate him. In fact, we're told not to. Amen. That's what the heathen do. They think they have to have a visual. They have to have something to bow down that they can see with their own eyes. But it tells us, but our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Oh, praise the Lord. And I think when we get into Daniel tonight, I think we're going to realize, oh yes, he does what he pleases. He is in control. Amen. And despite what we're seeing at this moment, and you know, and it might look kind of crazy to our thinking, but God is in charge and he is orchestrating the events of this world, whether people think so or not. And yes, he will do what he has pleased. Amen. Amen. You know, we're not going to control God. No, he is in control of this world in the sense that, yes, he will decide the events, the affairs, the purpose and the moment of his coming. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. It is so in his hands. Amen. And oh yes, the heathen, oh yes, they have their idols, as it's described here. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. And then we're told, they that make them are like unto them, like unto those graven images. Oh, yes, all the fantasies of a man. They that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in them. No, yes, we are told, old Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. I love this 12th verse. It says, the Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. Praise the Lord. Amen. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Ye are blessed of the Lord which made heaven and earth. Oh, praise the Lord. That's a beautiful thing. We are so privileged. Yes, God blesses us in so many ways. Oh, yes, even beyond that which we sometimes realize. He says, the heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. Amen. Oh, yes, if he has come to us, if he has made himself known unto us, then, oh, praise the Lord, we have a reason to rejoice. We have a reason to praise the Lord. Hey, yes, we have a reason to bless the Lord from this time forth and, yes, forevermore. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, we are so blessed. But the glory needs to go to our God.
Amen.
Oh, yes, we know that without him we could do nothing. And if he had not intervened in our lives, if he had not given us breath, oh, my, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be able to even begin to appreciate his goodness and his mercies and his kindnesses. His loving tenderness unto his people. Oh, praise the Lord. It's all because of him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord. I like how it tells us, as I turn here to 1 Timothy, the first chapter, verse 17, it tells us, now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Oh, yes, he is the one to whom the honor and the glory belongs. He is the King eternal. He is the King immortal. He is the King invisible. And yes, the only wise God. And oh, yes. Oh, let the honor and the glory go for him forever and ever. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, if we consider the prayer that Jesus taught his people to pray, it also instructs that the kingdom and the power and the glory must go to him. Amen.
Amen.
It tells us, Matthew, the 6th chapter, verse 7, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. And oh, yes, all the thinking of the heathen, you know, they just go off in so many directions in their carnality. But praise the Lord, we don't have to think that way. Oh, my, because the Lord has intervened in our lives. Amen.
Amen.
And here it tells us in Matthew 6, verse 8, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him. And so many take this prayer that we have labeled the Lord's Prayer and pray it over and over and over again like a chant. But when we read this or when we pray it, we want to think on it. And we want it to be applied by our words, by our thinking, by our prayer. So, yes, we're told, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Oh, yes, that name which is above every name. And yes, to hallow it means to set it apart, to make it holy. Amen. Oh, yes, to honor it. Amen. And then we're told, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes. The kingdom is the Lord's. And oh yes, it's His. And the power and the glory belongs to Him. Amen. What could we ever give to Him anyway? Oh yes, when we all get to heaven. And oh, those crowns are placed on our heads. What are we going to do? I believe we're going to take those crowns off and cast them before the throne. Amen. Let's look at them for a moment here at Revelation chapter 4. Oh, praise the Lord. Here it is, John, he's in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Behold, the Lord gave him a vision. And what did he see? He saw the throne of God. He says, behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight, like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And this is interesting, these descriptions that John has given us as he's trying to describe the majesty of the throne of God and all the beauty behind it. And oh yes, that sea of glass. And oh yes, then oh yes, the 4 beasts. And I believe these are angels here. And it's interesting. It seems like, as we look on this, that those 4 beasts would be angels that are seraphims, as described in Isaiah chapter 6. And it's going to tell us in verse 8 in a minute that that's who they are. Here, it's mentioned that the first beast was like a lion, the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And some have related these 4 imageries here: the lion, the calf, the face as a man, and the fourth beast that was like a flying eagle, to the 4 gospels. And that's kind of interesting too, because you could liken the lion. Jesus was like the Lion of Judah, and it's brought out in the book of Matthew. The second beast that is like a calf, or also an ox, as it's described in Ezekiel, the 1st chapter, could be compared to the subject matter in the book of Mark. The third beast that has a face as a man could be related to the book of Luke. And the fourth beast that was like a flying eagle can be compared to the book of John. And there's more that could be said all about that, but it has been likened like unto that. And yes, there's also that description in Ezekiel, the 1st chapter, which is pretty interesting too. Amen. Praise the Lord. But here they are, these 4 beasts that were full of eyes and obviously having the ability to see before and behind and all around, as we have a little more description as we read on. And we just see all these amazing descriptions of the throne of God. I know there's no throne to compare to it. so full of majesty. And I do believe from other scriptures that it's a great, tremendous throne. Oh, it's so beyond our understanding. And oh, yes, the majesty of it, the greatness of it. And you can imagine standing before it. And yet, when we come before the Lord in prayer, he puts out the scepter, so to speak. Oh, so that we can come boldly by invitation before that throne of grace. Oh, yes, to find grace and mercy to help us in the time of need. Oh, yes, we are so privileged to come before one that is so great and so majestic. And oh, yes, to bring our cares, our troubles, the petitions of our hearts before such a one and before such a throne. Oh, you can imagine, oh, yes, oh, as everything ends, and oh, yes, all that have ever lived and walked this earth stand before that throne. Oh, my, just the sight of it. And oh, yes, the authority, the power, the majesty of the one who sits on that throne. Oh, my, you know, you're just going to shrink away. If your heart isn't right with God, oh, if the blood has not covered your sins, oh, there's no way that you're going to be able to stand before such a majestic sight, before such majesty, before such power. Oh, yes, we are so privileged, yes, like I already said, to be able to go before that throne, and that's what we're doing when we go before the Lord in prayer. And he's so patient, he's so long-suffering, he's so gentle, he's so kind, he's so willing to forgive. Oh, praise the Lord, oh, such a privilege, such a one. It is such a blessing, amen, oh yes. And yes, those full of eyes, you know, that's a description of his omnipresence. The fact, you know, our God, you know, he sees it all. And, oh yes, he knows it all too. And he's all powerful besides. And oh, praise the Lord, yes. There's nothing hidden from him. And as John was looking into that scene, oh, as the heavens opened up and all at once he could see a glimpse of that majesty. Oh, he could see the four beasts. And each of them had six wings about them. In other words, they are seraphim, angels. And they were full of eyes within. And that means all around. And they rest not day and night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." Oh, yes, so our God deserves the praise and the glory. And I do think as Jesus was making his entrance into Jerusalem on that last occasion before Pilate's judgment hall, there, you know, as suddenly the crowd that was there to be a part of that day took up the palm branches and began to worship him and honor him, give him glory, oh, saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." Oh, there were some that protested and didn't like the fact at all that they were making this noise, that they were giving Jesus the glory that he so deserved. And they tried to stop it. Oh, Lord, tell them to be quiet. But Jesus said, if these should hold their peace, even the very rocks would cry out. And you know what? That's because, yes, he deserves the glory. And, oh, yes, he needs the glory. Oh, yes, and we need to give him that glory here in heaven. Oh, yes, there's the seraphims. Oh, day and night, crying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Oh, yes, and when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that lived forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Oh, yes, oh, that realization. Oh, I'm sure it will hit us. Oh, so clearly, you know, so distinctly there when we stand before the throne and realize our puniness, our, you know, undeservedness, you know, our unworthiness. Oh my, you know, to be there. Here's these 24 elders. I believe they represent the old and the new covenant, you know, those that would represent that. And oh yes, that recognition there. I believe we all, oh yes, would be there giving glory to the Lord when it's all finalized. And here it is, those crowns, as we realize and recognize, oh, how unworthy we are, those crowns, we take them and cast them before the Lord, before the throne. Oh, yes, because he is worthy. Jesus is worthy. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, we're going to know it like we've never known it before when we stand before that majestic, great throne. Amen, amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But yes, I would like to reference, oh, yes, a story from the Old Covenant here, from the Old Testament tonight. I'd like to go to Daniel, the 4th chapter, and I'd like to go into this story that Nebuchadnezzar actually is sharing. And we know that Nebuchadnezzar, yes, Babylonian king, and oh yes, he had accomplished a great deal in the sight of man. Basically, he had taken over all the known world, and he was esteemed very great. But it seems to me, you know, I mean, there were some other incidents that had already come to pass, recorded in the book of Daniel. It seems like, you know, he maybe should have kind of realized, you know, the reason he was there was because there was one way greater than he who had set him in place. But, you know, as we go into this 4th chapter of Daniel, we're going to see that it took a real live demonstration for Nebuchadnezzar to get the point, you could say. Oh my, because as human beings, a lot of times we just tend to just want some glory, I guess you could say, and want some praise, and want some esteem from human beings. And, you know, as we walk with the Lord, we do realize it's all because of him. And I think that becomes greater and greater, I know, in my heart, to realize, my, you know, I know my puniness, you know, I know my insignificance, oh my, and you know, if I just have some fleeting thoughts that I don't want, you know, I know I've got to cast them out, you know, because my, you know, it wouldn't take much for me to
hit my head, hit my hand, you know, stumble, fall, you know, all at once realize, oh my, you know, how I need the Lord. Oh my, so I want to keep that focus proper. Amen?
Amen.
But here it is. Here's Nebuchadnezzar. He's the king. And he is actually penning this. And this is a letter he is telling all people, nations, and languages. He must have had his runners go out and bring the tidings. Perhaps they were heralding it, you know, as they went to different lands to let this message be known. But oh my, here, you know, I can just sort of see it. Here's what he wanted them to know. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. So yes, here's his story. And oh my, he's gone through quite the experience. And now he's saying it. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. In other words, there's no end to the kingdom of God. Amen. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore made I a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. So here he is again. He had another big dream, and here it is. You know, it's puzzling him. It's troubling him. He can't get it off from his head. You know, it's just, you know, he needs to understand what it is all about. So he made a decree and ordered all the wise so-called people of Babylon to come. And he would tell them the dream, and yes, he would expect them to make it known, the interpretation, that is. So they came. Verse 7. Then came in the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers, and I told the dream before them. But they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and before him I told the dream, saying. And I'm sure Daniel did not appreciate this name, but anyway, that's what the pagan king has called him. So here he's being addressed, verse 9. O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen and the interpretation thereof. And so now he's going to let Daniel know this puzzling dream that he has beheld. So he says, thus were the visions of mine head in my bed. I saw, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all. The beasts of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of the heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. Oh, what a tree, amazing, mighty tree. So amazing, so strong, so tall that it reached into heaven. And oh, just, you know, the sight reached to all the ends of the earth. Oh, yes, something that everything was going to, you could say. Oh, my. So he says, I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and a holy one came down from heaven. And who is it that beholds it all and sees it all, observes it all? Oh my, the Lord sees it all, doesn't he? He knows it all. And it tells us he cried aloud and said thus, hew down the tree and cut off his branches, shake off his leaves and scatter his fruit. Let the beasts get away from under it and the fowls from his branches. Wow, it was so prosperous. It was so beautiful. It was beautiful. It was so mighty that everything was drawn to it. All the beasts of the field and, oh my, all the fowls of the air were in its branches. But now something comes forth as the watcher and the Holy One comes down from heaven and cries, hew down the tree, cut off his branches, shake off his leaves and scatter his fruit. Let the beasts get away from under it and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. So here it is, all cut down, all, you know, hewn, the fruit all scattered, all the leaves shaken off. But one thing stays, and that's the stump of his roots. That's still there. And it's even with a band of iron and brass, so there's some strength to it. And, you know, I've got a note here that iron denotes strength, and brass indicates judgment. So, you know, here it was, the stump. And yeah, yet that remaining, despite, you know, what had befallen the mighty tree. But the stump, yeah, there in the grass, you know, and to be wet with the dew of heaven, and his portion to be with the beasts in the grass of the earth, his heart changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. So it goes on. Very strange, isn't it? This matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of man and giveth it to whomsoever he will and setteth up over it the bases of men. Oh, people think they're in power, you know? Oh my, you know, they just might like to shout it to the rooftop. But who is it that put them there? Oh, yes. And it did come to Nebuchadnezzar's understanding after what all follows, you know, in this chapter, that there is the Most High that ruleth in the kingdom of men. Oh, there's someone, oh, some mighty one who is over all. And yes, he is the one that is giving the kingdoms of this earth to whomsoever he will. And yes, he'll even use the basis of men, the lowest of men even. So here he had this dream. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof, for as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. So, you know, Nebuchadnezzar is realizing that Daniel is not ordinary, that he, you know, he has help from the mighty one, obviously. He, you know, refers to it as the spirit of the holy gods, but, you know, there's a difference in Daniel than these other so-called wise men. So here, this is what he told unto Daniel. And it tells us in verse 19 that Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. Oh, you know, because, you know, I believe Daniel was getting the message, but oh my, how do I tell this king? And this king, as we know from other portions of Daniel, can, you know, be very furious and impulsive and very mean. And, you know, how do I tell him this dream, what it means, that is? And so for an hour, Daniel, it seems, couldn't speak, and he was troubled. And the king obviously realized it. It says the king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belteshazzar answered and said, my lord, the dream be to them that hate thee and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. Or rather, this is, I believe, what Daniel is finally stating here. It was very hard to get the words out because, yes, this was going to be a very hard interpretation. Amen. Oh, yes. But here it is. And yes, Daniel is trying to, you know, be as wise and diplomatic as he possibly can because, again, you know, he's standing before the king. So here it is. This is what it meant. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation, it is thou, O king. Thou art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. Oh yes, this king had conquered. Oh yes, the known world at that point. And oh yes, you know, he had built a kingdom for himself, and it seemed majestic, it seemed strong. You know, he seemed to be powerful and overall. But oh my, there was going to be an end. And whereas the king saw a watcher and a holy one coming down from heaven and saying, hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the field till 7 times pass over him. And, you know, the 7 times isn't real clear as far as the meaning, but I believe it means the completion of the period. 7 indicating completion, and then, you know, whatever all, I mean, you could think 7 years, you could think 7 seasons, 7 months, I don't know, but until the period that God had designated was completed, I would say, you know, that would be the case, that stump would be there and, you know, wet with the dew of heaven and be so until 7 times had passed over. So it goes on. This is the interpretation, Daniel talking to the king. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High. Oh, yes, the one who is over all, the God that we serve. Oh, I'm so thankful that we can serve the mighty God, that we can be subject to him. Oh, yes, that we can know that all things will one day bow to God and give him glory. Amen. Oh, yes. But here's the interpretation that Daniel gave Nebuchadnezzar. This is interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which is come upon my lord the king, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and 7 times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee after that thou shalt have known
that the heavens do rule. Oh my, God was going to show Nebuchadnezzar, who was above him, who was greater than him, the one that he needed to acknowledge, oh yes, and give honor to. Oh yes, it was going to be a hard lesson. And so Daniel is beseeching him in verse 27. He's actually telling him to repent. He says, "Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility." Oh my, thank God for a remedy. Oh, in the midst of hard news. But oh yes, Daniel is talking to a very proud, arrogant man who esteems himself to be the most powerful man on earth. But here he's given warning. And yes, the Lord does give warning before he sets out judgment. God is just, and I know that is one of his attributes, that oh yes, he makes space for repentance. He gives space for repentance. Even that old wicked woman Jezebel was given space to repent, as told in that book of Revelation. So yes, this is how the story is unfolding and how Nebuchadnezzar is relating it. Verse 28 tells us all this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. A year later, in our eyes, after that dream, and it tells us the king spake and said, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?" Oh boy, he had that moment, and looking at all the greatness and all the beauty of it, and oh, it got way up here. Oh, and he said, "Oh my, is this not great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?" Oh my. He was taking all the glory. He was taking all the power. He was accrediting it to himself. And just as he did that, God judged the whole situation. He judged that prideful, oh, nasty, oh, thinking that came forth out of this king. While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will." And oh yes, verse 33, the same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. It's like he lost his mind, and he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird claws. So yes, for this portion of time, you know, until seven times passed over, there he was, like a beast out there, eating grass as oxen. And oh yes, just as it was declared, but yet, as we were told, the stump remained. God gave this man hope. Oh my, you know, God could have judged him completely and finally, and there could have been no remedy. There could have been, no aftermath that, you know, would have been good. It tells us the same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from man into the grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails
like bird claws, and out there like a beast. Tells us, and at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. All at once the understanding came to him. God, in his mercy, allowed Nebuchadnezzar to gain that understanding. Oh yes, and so that, oh yes, he could come back, oh my. He could be restored, even, oh, his power and reputation. But oh yes, there was something that he needed to understand, that oh yes, it took a very hard lesson to learn. Oh my, yes, God wanted Nebuchadnezzar to know that it was the Most High that he needed to praise and honor, the one that lives forever, whose dominion is everlasting, an everlasting dominion. His kingdom is from generation to generation. In other words, continuance. Oh yes, as the years go by, yes, the same one is still in power, in his majesty. Oh yes, in his kingdom. And it tells us, as Nebuchadnezzar gained this understanding, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. Yes, we're all as the grass of the field. We're here, you know, for a very short time, and we might as well understand it and get it. Hey, you know, you know, we're very limited as individuals, and we could do nothing without the Lord. He's the one that gives us power. He's the one that gives us strength. He's the one that gives us hope. Oh my, you know, we're just, you know, totally indebted to him. Amen. Yes, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Yeah, you're not going to tell God what to do, are you? No, you can't stop his hand or stay his hand or you know, say, God, you're mighty strange today. I don't understand you. Well, God is doing what he's going to do for his reasons. And yes, for our benefit too. Yes, because, oh my, oh, we'd never make it in this world if God didn't give us some help. And sometimes that help is, you know, the fact that we kind of get under and go through trials and tests and sicknesses and, you know, hard things. But yet it's God who has allowed it for our good and for our blessing. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, and oh, praise the Lord, all at once Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, the one who thought he was so great, till God put him down and smote him in that sense. Oh, praise the Lord. All at once, he realized, oh, it came to him. And what a wonderful thing when, oh, yes, it comes to us as individuals, the greatness of our God and how we need him and how we need to submit our lives unto him. Oh, it's such a wonder, you know, when it dawns on us, we might be living, oh, for days, for months, for years without that understanding. But thank God when it dawns on us, yes, we need a Savior. We need to turn our lives over to him. Yes, we need to give him the power and the glory. Oh, of his kingdom, we need to acknowledge him. Yes, we need to bend our knees. Oh, yes, and cry out even for his mercy. And praise the Lord, old King Nebuchadnezzar got it. God showed him that kind of mercy. Oh, where he could bend his knee and acknowledge him. And it tells us, at the same time, my reason returned unto me. And for the glory of my kingdom,
Mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my Lord sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Oh, God was going to return it to him, because now Nebuchadnezzar had realized his need to submit to God to give him the power and the glory. Oh, yes. Oh, this chapter ends as Nebuchadnezzar, giving us the bottom line here. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of Heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. Oh my, yeah. Oh yes, if the heart is lifted up in pride, there is no way that you can approach God. Oh no. You know, in order to approach God, yes, we have to submit to him. We have to humble ourselves. We have to bend our knees. We have to acknowledge our sins. We have to give him our hearts. Amen. And so amazing, God took Nebuchadnezzar through such a trial, such a trauma. Oh my, knowing that there would be quite the end to it, that even someone as prideful as Nebuchadnezzar had been would submit unto God and turn his life over to him. All realizing, oh yes, and sending the message out to all the people in his kingdom. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of Heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. Abase meaning to humble. Oh yes, what a lesson, what a story. Oh yes, God in his mercy bringing this man to his knees so that he would literally acknowledge God's might and his power and give him, oh yes, the glory that was needed. Oh, how we need to give God the glory. You know, there's another story, this one in the New Testament, the book of Acts, that goes a little differently. If you would turn with me now to Acts, the 12th chapter, I'd like us to look at another example. Oh, yes. Here it is, Acts chapter 12. Praise the Lord. It tells us, verse 20.
What verse?
Verse 20. Acts 12, verse 20. And Herod was highly displeased with them at Tyre and Zidon. But they came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus, the king's chamberlain, their friend, desired peace. So obviously, you know, he was having some difficulty with those of Tyre and Zidon there, and you know, he's come down there to, you know, seek some peace. And on the other hand, it seems that these individuals also, those of Tyre and Zidon, also want some peace. And you know, he's made Blastus, the king's chamberlain, their friend. So anyway, steps, diplomatic steps to, you know, try to, you know, get the desired end here. So anyway, he came down to that area. Having made Blastus, the king's chamberlain, their friend, desired peace because their country was nourished by the king's country. So yes, you know, they wanted Herod's favor at this point, these folks of Tyre and Zidon. So anyway, here there was a day that Herod was going to come, and he's arrayed in his royal apparel, and he's going to make a speech. And so it tells us, verse 21, and upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And oh my, the people gave a shout. And I get, you know, they this, you know, they're wanting a desired end too, you know, and they desired to be at peace with Herod. He was controlling that area. And anyway, so he makes a speech, and there he is, royal apparel, very impressive, I guess, and sat upon his throne, oh, his throne, you know. I guess most thrones, you know, they make him to look kind of majestic. Nothing compared to God's throne, of course. But anyway, he made a speech. He made an oration unto them. And so the people responded. It says, and the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of God and not of a man. And Herod obviously took it all in. They gave a shout, and they probably repeated it several times, you know, and there you can see, you know, just kind of a worship type of thing. Oh my, it is the voice of a God and not of a man. God heard it. Oh yes, the watcher, the great one who sees it all. And in this case, he wasn't given opportunity to bend the knee and repent. It tells us in verse 23, and immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. Oh, we see the tremendous consequences here for somebody who, you know, was going to assume that he had the voice of a God and not of a man, to take that in and to receive that. He should have never have acknowledged that and never given ear to that. He should have corrected them. But he did not. And we are told that God smote him immediately because he took the glory for himself. He did not give it to God. And therefore, he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. In other words, he died. And I don't know if this was over a little period of time, but, you know, he did not have any days, if any at all, after that moment. All the consequences, because he wasn't willing to acknowledge God and his greatness, his majesty, his power. Oh yes, I'm just thinking here, you know, as those three angels fly there in Revelation chapter 14, what are they crying here? There, Revelation 14 verse 6, John is saying, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. Oh yes, oh that is wisdom. Oh, that is such a need. Oh yes, to bow the knee. Oh, to give God the glory. Oh yes, while we yet walk this earth. And oh yes, you can just imagine that angel. Is it not going forth right now? Oh, the need, oh yes, to turn from our willful, disobedient ways, to bend our knees, to submit to God, to repent of our sins. Oh yes, that need to fear God and give glory to him.
Amen.
For the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. Oh, such a need. And oh, yes, we're coming to that time. Oh, that time when the great trumpet is going to sound. Oh, yes, and oh, yes. Our God is going to show himself all this time in all his majesty and power, in his greatness. Oh yes, as he comes, and all at once every eye is going to see him. Oh, praise the Lord, and oh yes, even those that pierced him at the resurrection, and all kindreds of the earth are going to wail because of him as they see him. Oh yes, coming. Oh yes, in his majesty, in his might, in his power, King of kings and Lord of lords. Oh, above all. Oh, no mistaking it. Oh my. Oh, what a moment that's going to be. What a cry, what a wailing, as all those that have not submitted to him will realize the powerfulness of our God. Oh yes, the one who made us, the creator of this universe. And oh yes, the one that we need to fear and give glory to. Oh yes, because his is the kingdom, thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Nebuchadnezzar got it. Oh, yes. After suffering that humongous trial. But praise the Lord. Our God is so gracious. He is so merciful. He is so kind. And oh, we would not want to spurn his mercy, his gentleness, his goodness, oh, his love for his people. Oh my, if we'll just bend the knee, if we'll just get right, if we'll just submit to him. Oh, praise the Lord, how different the story is. Oh, praise the Lord as we stand before him. Oh, yes, as those, oh, in heaven, oh, who bow to him and, oh, give him the power and the glory, oh, that he is so deserving. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, as it tells us again in 1 Timothy, the first chapter, verse 17, now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Oh, yes, his, thine is the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise our God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Oh, the heart so worthy. Oh, God, we could never praise you. We could never exalt you. We could never thank you enough. But, oh, yes, the power, the glory, the honor belongs to thee. And we acknowledge thee and give it to thee. Oh, in the name of Jesus, praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Oh, yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the
Lord. In closing, we are going to open our chorus books to number 7 and sing The Only Wise God, number 7 in the chorus book. To the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Be honor. God, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. God bless you all. Be safe. Have a wonderful night. Thank you.
Thank you.